Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in, live in L.A. I think the fireworks just decided a couple, just stopped a couple hours ago. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Those fireworks were playing. Joy tells me I was out by 9:30. Joy tells me they went 10, 11, midnight last night. So we hope you got a good night's sleep. You're up and ready around the country. It was funny. I sent out a social media post last night. I'm like, this is the loudest I've ever heard fireworks in Los Angeles. And I got tweets from all over America. And they're like, no, in Denver, it's in Texas, in Florida, in Philadelphia. It was wild last night.
It's always wild for 4th of July. But you and I have lived a couple different places. L.A. does fireworks different, guys. Like, every single city block in Los Angeles is setting off fireworks. If it's 4th of July, New Year's, if it is a championship, like, nobody does it like L.A. I'm sure you think it's loud, but this is Los Angeles.
They like fireworks.
Yes.
Well, it's great to have you in on a Monday. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. You know... We all know there are certain things that are good for us, big picture, long term. 401ks. You should invest in those, right? Long term, don't pull the money out. But short term, sometimes you can blow through the budget. Just go have a great family vacation. That's what the kids are going to remember 50 years from now. Spend a little more than you're comfortable with on the family vacation. Big picture, eat your vegetables. Short term, it's hot out. It's August. It's July. I want ice cream. You know, if you live in a northern climate, Wisconsin, North Dakota, Illinois, SUV makes sense. But there's probably about 30 days a year in those climates. The convertible is way cooler and a lot more fun. Just because something is great over an extended period of time doesn't mean it always feels right, works the best, or makes you feel better. And that's the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis. He has a physical presence. Over the course of an 82-game schedule, Giannis is going to block a lot of shots, get you a lot of easy baskets. He's absolutely a franchise player. But short-term in a series, situationally, got to be honest, Milwaukee's offense without him for a couple of games against Atlanta was smoother. The ball movement was excellent. This happens all the time. It's not just Giannis. You get to the playoffs and basketball changes. The officials let more go. That's hurt James Harden. Karl Malone, players who needed the whistle. They were great players that you'd love to have in your franchise. But sometimes there was a better teammate in a moment in the playoffs than Malone or James Harden, maybe on the same roster, right? And the Bucks have fallen into a trap. All right, Giannis is our best athlete. He's our best player. So we've got to get the ball. He's got to be playing late. And that's just not the truth. He's your best defensive player. He's your great rim protector. He's unbelievable in transition. But in the half-court offense, sometimes he gets in the way. Drew Holiday needs his space. Chris Middleton needs to know he can be the number one guy and not worry about getting it to Giannis. That's what Charles Barkley talked about. Got some pushback, but I think he's actually right.
I hate to say this. I think the best thing happened to the Milwaukee Bucks was Giannis getting hurt. Because they have unleashed Drew Holiday, the aggressive Drew Holiday. I think he's going to be fantastic in the finals against Chris Paul. As much as I love Chris Paul, if Giannis is 85 to 90%, I'm going to go with Milwaukee.
Now, I like Phoenix. I think they have the better coach. I think they're healthier. They're more rested. They have home court advantage. and they have clearly defined roles. Chris Paul is the setup guy. Devin Booker's the scorer. DeAndre Ayton's the pick-and-roll guy with Chris. Jay Crowder's the 3-and-D guy. You get the same style, the same production, the same efficiency, the same urgency every night. I like Phoenix rather quickly in the series. But there's something to be said if Giannis was 80% and you didn't play him quite as much, it would let Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday flourish. And I think there's an argument to be made. What we know about these playoffs, when basketball becomes situational, half-court offense really important, who can hurt their team? Westbrook, Simmons, and Giannis can't shoot. You need shot makers. That's why Chris Middleton, actually, situationally, late in games, is a better player for the Bucks than Giannis. Now, over the course of a season, Giannis gets you so many easy baskets. He's such a great defender. He's so good in transition. You don't coach the same way. You know, your team flies into town. You especially this year in a condensed year, you watch an hour of film. It's really difficult to prepare for the physical dimension of a Westbrook in his prime or a Giannis. But you get into situational half-court basketball, and Chris Middleton, he's the guy that worries me. It's not Giannis. I'd love Giannis to shoot, and then I'll foul him and put him at the free throw line late. So I like Phoenix over Milwaukee, but I think it's something. It's not a criticism of Giannis. It is a reality of life. Is it? We know you got to eat your vegetables, but some hot days you just want a beer or ice cream. We know you put in the 401k, but sometimes for the family's sake, dad's all stressed out, just go on a big vacation. SUVs are more valuable in the north, but a convertible is better on like 30 days. And I look at Giannis and I think sometimes when he's off the floor, it's weird to say, two-time MVP, they're better offensively. Ball moves better. Middleton feels empowered. Drew Holiday feels empowered, but I'll still take Phoenix. So this is a real thing. I don't talk about Slovenia basketball much. They have 2 million people. They're the size of New Mexico. They have never made the Olympics. It is a tiny country. And if you look at the teams that will play basketball in the Olympics, men's basketball, America, we have 330 million people, and Japan has 126 million people. And then there's like Italy with 60 million and Germany with 83, and Nigeria has over 200 million people, and Spain's got 50 million people, and Argentina's got 46, 45 million people. And Slovenia has two, and Luka has carried them to the Olympics, and they beat Lithuania. Now think about that. Lithuania has put 14 guys in the NBA. Lithuania, after maybe Spain? I mean, when you talk about international basketball powers, us, Lithuania, Spain, it is a short list, and they beat them. Or should I say, Luka beat them. What's really fascinating about this, Luka came into this league at 20 and averaged 21 points a game. He's now to 29, and his efficiency numbers better every year. He is, along with LeBron and Magic Johnson, the best 22-year-old basketball player I've ever seen in my life. And this just doubles down on the fact that Mark Cuban has got real pressure on him. He's already fired his coach, and he's already fired his general manager. Now he's got to find him a player. And this is not like Dirk Nowitzki, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, Dirk wasn't this good this early. Second of all, Dirk was a more agreeable personality, not as feisty. The other thing was, when Dirk Nowitzki entered the NBA, it was different. And this was something that was discussed in the league. International players, even if they were good, kind of considered themselves, you know, visitors to America. They played basketball, but they didn't like to demand trades. International players, that wasn't the game. They came to the States, they'd play for a team, and they wanted to be, you know, great citizens and great teammates. But it's changed now. International players have a lot of pull, and they're unbelievably talented, and they're going to let you hear their opinion, as they should. So Luka, not only by international player standards, by basketball player standards, has an opinion and wants to win now. And he's so great now, you can't worry about drafting people around him. He's too good. These guys like Trae Young and Luka They're not going to sit around and wait for some kid from Creighton or Gonzaga to get good. You got to put stars around him. And Luka, unlike Dirk, isn't just going to be a good guy and develop and take one for the team and wait till he gets the it's not going to work that way. You are looking at the best young player in the world, Luka Doncic, the best young basketball player in the world that just got Slovenia past Lithuania. The only thing I can even compare it to, and it's probably a poor comparison, and I'm old enough to have seen it, is when Larry Bird carried Indiana State into the championship game against Magic Johnson and Michigan State. Michigan State was a basketball power. Head coach, Judd Heathcote. It was Magic Johnson. They had another player, Greg Kelsey, I forget the name of the player. Michigan State had really good players. And Larry Bird took Indiana State, the Sycamores, I think they're still called that. I'm not sure if it's still a university. Larry Bird took them to the championship. And it was like, who, what? I remember the baby blue uniforms. They had the weird Indiana State logo. It was like, what? That's how good Luka is. And so I do think Mark Cuban, new coach, new GM, understands the urgency with this. But it's a remarkable story. Can you imagine New Mexico? Get the best players in New Mexico, compete against the world, and they would get into the Olympics. It's insane, the accomplishment. Luka talked about winning a gold medal or an NBA championship.
What would mean more to you, a gold medal with the Team Slovenia or an NBA championship with the
men? I would say gold medal with Slovenia. It's, you play for your country, and that's something that really, really... But I wouldn't mind both.
Yeah. Either with Mark Cuban. So that's a story to keep your eye on. Coming up next on a Monday, the stories are fun, and I do like talking about them, but the Aaron Rodgers-Green Bay Packers situation, I think it's over, and the team won. And we'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back. It's The Herd on a Monday. Thanks so much this holiday weekend. Hope you had a great time. Yesterday's probably a rough day for the animals in the house a little bit. We understand that. Was for my dogs. Got to get them earmuffs next year for fireworks and 4th of July. But hope you had a great time with your family and your friends at the cookouts around America. And it was so just empowering to me. I watched a lot of sports over the weekend. I watched MLS. I watched some Dodger games, some baseball games. I kept my television on over the weekend, and just to watch fans in stadiums, the passion, it was really encouraging. It was really great. Put me in a great mood all weekend that sports is back, and the sights and the sounds of it were fantastic. Now, a story that we have talked a lot about, and we're kind of waiting for the conclusion of this. We're in that middle period where, ooh, it's a story. Not much can happen for a month. It could be big, right? We're in that part of the movie that's a pretty good movie with a good open and a good finish, but there's like this 12-minute story arc in the middle that doesn't quite connect, and that's the Aaron Rodgers story. Jake Plummer, former Bronco quarterback, came out and said, I think he can come into Denver and crush it. There's a story that Denver is still monitoring the Green Bay situation and is still interested in Aaron Rodgers. My opinion, they should be. I think if you put him with that roster, they're very, very interesting. I don't think it guarantees anything. Patrick Mahomes is in that division. Andy Reid's in that division. But it does make that division really fascinating. But here's the thing. These stories sound interesting, both the stories about Denver and Green Bay today, but we've got to be honest about it. The Packers called Aaron's bluff. They're not budging. They're not taking calls. They're not trading him. And they're not going to fire any executives. And they know Aaron, and they've had him for 16 years, and they know him. And they know he doesn't like ugly. He doesn't like uncomfortable. And the minute this situation got contentious, I mean really contentious, what happened? Aaron went to Hawaii, gets away from all the nonsense, and sends some friends out to become available for press interviews that say stuff like, hey, it's fixable. And they sue the hot coals. You know, they kind of bring the temperature down. And Green Bay is telling you, we don't think Aaron has the stomach for it. Now, it's different in Seattle with Russell Wilson. Much like Aaron, after Brady won a Super Bowl, Russell was mad. But the difference is this. The reason the Seahawks acted so quickly is Russell really had never complained. I mean, almost to a nauseating fault, go Hawks was always the answer. Go Hawks. Everything's great here. And so if you're like that in a marriage or a relationship where you never complain, even during tough times, when you occasionally rarely do, you know, people listen. Oh, she's mad. He's mad. Russell's mad. So the Seahawks immediately reacted to it when Russell's like, I'm upset. Here's the four teams or whoever leaked it. So the second thing is that Russell Wilson complained 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. So he gave the Seahawks time in free agency to make moves. He gave the Seahawks the draft to make moves. It's one thing to complain, you know, about the road trip when you're already pulling up to the hotel. It's another thing to complain 3 weeks out about, you don't like the timing of it. We may want to reconsider rebooking the vacation. So Russell Wilson never complains, did loudly, or his people did, and he gave the Seahawks time to maneuver around his concerns. Aaron is different. He's never truly happy. So when Aaron complains, there are going to be, like any relationship where somebody is generally unhappy, can be passive aggressive, there's a little bit of an eye roll with it. And the second thing is, Aaron did it after free agency and leaked his information through sources the day of the draft. It's a little late. And so Green Bay has decided, you know what this really is? It's a public tantrum. And how do parents, most parents, handle tantrums? Stay firm, hold your ground, and eventually he'll fall asleep. And I think that's what Green Bay has decided to do. We've seen this before. We know the way you did it. You didn't give us time to do anything. In the end, it's a public tantrum. We're going to stand our ground, and you're going to come back. Because we have your rights, and we're not going to trade you. And you're not going to give up $30 million. And so when I read this story this morning, you have the two quarterbacks in their mid-30s in this league that are fantastic, Hall of Famers, Russell and Aaron. And whether or not you like one or the other, Russell, who has mostly hidden his feelings, got the news out there, but it's so rare that he complains that Seattle reacted to it immediately. It's probably a great lesson for all of us in life. If you're going to complain, do it loudly, but do it infrequently. If you do it casually, passive-aggressively, often, it becomes an eye roll. And I think the Packers look at Aaron and just go, we've been through some of this stuff. This is worse, but we've been through some of it. Russell Wilson's case, it was like, uh-oh. He's naming cities. Ciara and Russell aren't happy. Let's take care of it. And so, I mean, all these stories are great, but I said this 3 weeks ago with joy as my witness. When the story got out that Aaron had rejoined the Green Bay Country Club, my takeaway was, well, the time to golf is July, August, and September in Green Bay. He's not holding out. He's going to come. He's going to be great. He's going to work hard. It'll get Jordan Love some extra snaps. But in the end, all these stories, believe it when I see it. I think he'll be a Packer this year. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Chris Paul revealed after clinching his spot in the NBA Finals that he played with a partially torn ligaments in his right hand against the Clippers, and he was asked how he'd been working through the injury. CP3 said he thought he dealt with it well, but was happy for some extra rest before the next series.
Managed it well, good. These days that we've had off have been really good, and you know, we all get a chance to rest up a little bit before we get it going again.
They're in a pretty good situation outside of Chris Paul and a few other minor injuries. They're relatively healthy. Now, he had the issue with his shoulder in the first round against the Lakers, and then obviously the COVID situation in between the second round, and now he's reeling. He had an issue with his hand, but overall, like, we knew the issue with the shoulder and COVID, but like, didn't find out anything about his hands, and he had an incredible Game six. Like, he's played through all of it, and they're pretty healthy.
Well, I mean, if you really look at who's left, It's two of the three healthiest teams. Atlanta was healthy except Trey. Milwaukee healthy until the end with Giannis. And Phoenix really healthy and Chris Paul little injury. This is something we've discussed sort of ad nauseum. It's like health is becoming a real situation. And also, the NBA, although it's not football physical or UFC physical, the referees do allow more physical play in the postseason.
It's still a contact sport.
Yeah, and it adds a layer of physicality in the playoffs. Referees historically, watching the league for all the years we have, they pull back a little in the playoffs. They let the players decide games. And so you've noticed this last 5-6 years. You know, these players in great shape, and the regular season's a little more casual. The defense isn't quite as intense. And then the playoffs come around, and everybody mans up, and it's body on body, and you're getting health is now, over the last several years. I mean, let's face it, the Raptors won a title because the Warriors fell apart. And the dynasty in Golden State would not have been as great if Chris Paul didn't get hurt when he and Harden were together in Houston. So this is not like a new thing. It's not a condensed schedule thing. Like, health is determining these NBA playoffs last half decade.
Yeah, no, I it's not a new thing. And it's why it's kind of hard to point at what it feels like there are more injuries. It feels like the injuries are caused by the shortened off season, and maybe some of them are. But there's always injuries, and they always affect the end of the season. And many breaks have to happen for you to win a championship. And sometimes it's the best player on the other team gets injured in the middle of the series or the series before, and they're not 100%. I mean, look at Trae Young. Like, that's not a condensed season. Like, it was a complete freak accident.
Well, the last great dynasty we had was Golden State. So they won before Durant got there, and then Kevin gets there, and they're unbelievable. And by the second year, though, the second year of that great team, just think how great that team was. They had KD, Steph, and Clay in their prime, and Draymond in their prime. I mean, that's an unbelievable team. That's four potential Hall of Famers. By the second year in the playoffs, injuries, you miss a couple guys, you started to see holes in the Warriors. So even when teams are great, and I don't think either of these teams is all-time great, you were in Miami, you know the Heatles very well. They lose the first and the last. Their second championship, they rolled through the league. But even when you get the greatest players, this stuff is hard.
Well, also, if you are on a dynasty or great team, you're playing later into the season, and you're going to do that year after year after year. That's why when we talk about LeBron, how many seasons he's played, we have to tag on how much he's played in the postseason as well, because that really adds three more seasons to his career, like how many games he's played. And everybody isn't LeBron. Like, LeBron is overall an Iron Man. Like, anyone is going to wear down playing that many more games. So the Suns are favored by 6 in game one, and they are also favored overall, according to Fox Bet, to win the series, minus 182, Bucks plus 155. So Trae Young had an incredible run during the playoffs, but it came to a halt in game three, as we were just discussing, when he injured his foot. He was unable to play in games 4 and 5, but powered through game 6. He said it was very difficult not being healthy in the last games of the season.
For me, not being able to be out there for my team for 2 games, and then tonight, just wanting to battle and try to fight through it as much as I could, and try to be out there for my team. It's definitely frustrating not being healthy and not being able to give my full 100%. I feel like we'll be back, and I meant that with my whole heart.
I actually think that this Hawks team will be back as well. I mean, that was a freak accident that happened with his ankle.
Yeah.
I don't think if he would have gotten injured that they would have lost this series. They were basically in control of the series, and Giannis was injured. I mean, if Trae Young had an incredible series, 48 points, 15 points in game 2, 35 in game 3, didn't play in games 4 and 5, and then came back 4 and 9 in game 6. But if he was healthy, I don't know that the Bucks would be in the finals right now. And what they've been able to do since Nate McMillan took over, I mean, they were 14 and 25th worst in the Eastern Conference before he took over as interim coach on March 1st. They went 37 and 19 from there. The Suns are the only team with more wins in that span. Like, Trae Young has arrived. It's clearly his team.
Well, they play 8-9 guys, so it's not. And the gentleman running the team is a former Warrior guy, so they took, like, the number 2 from Golden State, really smart franchise, and that's what happens a lot of time. You know, you poach Belichick or you poach a dynasty, and what you have is they've done a nice job drafting. They're in a good spot with you know, cap space going forward. I mean, I don't see any reason why Atlanta, especially in the East, which has been an uneven, up for grabs conference over the last decade, why can't they be a perennial top three seed?
I don't see why not. And they have the experience now. And they have the confidence now because they've done it. Trae Young, who's already a confident player, has done it at the highest level. He's completely arrived. I think the Hawks are in a great position moving forward.
Yeah. The only team in that I think I'm interested to see what Boston does, because I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's good, not special. If they did make a move and got a Dame with a Tatum, then it's like, all right, that could change everything in the East. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Atlanta's going to be a really solid, deep roster, well-run for years to come.
So we were just discussing Aaron Rodgers. The drama continues. Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy writes a column each month that discusses the team and answers five fan questions. So in his May post, he focused on the Packers' commitment to Aaron Rodgers in 2021 and beyond. Last month, he started a little controversy. He wrote the Rodgers situation has divided the fan base. So this month, he didn't mention Rodgers at all.
Well, he's not there right now, so that's probably best served.
Well, training camp starts on July 27th, so that's kind of the next date to pay attention to. That's a couple weeks from now. I think he will be there. I don't know that the Packers have won this long term. I think we have a couple more years to play out to see if they won this, if there is a winner and a loser. I think if you look at the Patriots-Brady situation, like, Brady's won that situation. If there was a winner and a loser in that situation, Brady won that situation.
Right.
It doesn't take away anything of what they did. Their dynasty doesn't take anything away from Belichick, except for I think we now give Brady a little more credit than we did Belichick. And in this situation, I think that Aaron Rodgers gets all of the credit for what the Packers have done. I mean, even when we were talking about Matt LaFleur last week in the ranking of coaches, like, is it Matt LaFleur or is it Aaron Rodgers? Like, what did he walk into? I don't know that we'll see who won or lost this, because I don't know how this is going to play out over the next couple years, but I do think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers in training camp this year.
Yeah, you know, remember, Brady really didn't have the freedom to leave New England until he did. You know, for years and years, he finally negotiated that deal where he could leave at the end, and he was like 42, 43. Remember, what is Aaron, like 36 years old? So when Tom was Aaron's age, the team controlled it as well. And so this may look unfair, but Brady only, you know, I've said this about the NFL, the franchise tag is the pits for quarterbacks. It stinks for quarterbacks. I am not a big fan of the franchise tag. I understand if you're a defensive back or a receiver or a tight end, it's good for you. And so it's good for the collective. But if you're a star quarterback and you don't like your organization, and on the open market, 12 teams would come after you like Aaron Rodgers. The franchise tag is not good for star quarterbacks. Now, Mahomes got a great situation. Josh Allen's got a great situation. But Aaron, and I think Aaron's is way better than everybody says. Green Bay is a good situation. But, I mean, Aaron feels a little trapped. Well, Tom Brady was as the greatest quarterback of all time with all those rings until a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think that it's an unfair situation. I don't really love the word fair, but I don't think it's an unfair situation. I just think that Green Bay is playing a very interesting game because he will eventually be able to leave. And are they going to be set up for their future? And quarterbacks are playing much, much later into their lives than they used to. So you are taking a gamble of how he leaves and if he is successful somewhere else. Like, that's, you're betting on yourself there.
Listen, there is no perfect situation.
No.
I mean, Brady, let's be honest, his last 5 years in New England, they could not draft skill people. So Brady was carrying an anemic offense, one of the slowest offenses. Aaron, we never have any money. Free agents don't like to be here. You know, Russell Wilson has to play in the toughest division against the best coaches, great defenses, Aaron Donald, you know, Bosa, and also Pete Carroll, historically offensive lines, not his strength. He's a little bit, I would say, old school in the way he develops an offense.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, it's a grease fire in the organization. So even when you're the greatest quarterback, there is no perfect life. Aaron can't get a free agent. The Seahawks run the ball too much. Brady had no speed on the perimeter last 5 years. Mahomes, It's
pretty close.
That's got a lot of Joe Montana feel to it, where he has got the coach, the schemes, the speed, the talent, and all that. Oh, yeah, this year offseason, they just went and bought the world's best offensive line. So Mahomes, and by the way, once that contract joy starts getting punitive, he won't have all those pieces. So, Patrick, enjoy this three-year bubble. Because even for the all-time greats, once you start making big money, it's a world of imperfect, not perfect.
Absolutely.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, Josh Allen's got it pretty good. But in November, December, it's not actually ideal throwing weather in Buffalo. So it's, you know, I've told my wife this before. Like right now in my career, I'm very happy. Joy and I get along great. We have a great staff. I love my life. I got my dogs. I got my kids. And I'm like, oh, it can't last like this forever. I'm like, it doesn't. The reality is you got to enjoy the moment when you're a quarterback or anybody in life, because companies
change.
Companies sell. Companies buy. Companies move on. You have different, things a company wants to focus on. And it's like Aaron, Brady, and Russell. They've all got, I mean, let's be honest. Russell Wilson inherited the best defense in 10 years. They got him a Super Bowl. Aaron has, on average, had the best offensive lines in football for the last 20 years, and Brady had the best coach.
But I do think, and we've talked about this before, when you are at that elite level, you have very high standards for yourself.
And so we talk about you a lot. Right. Pressure, 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 pressure.
So it's kind of a balancing act of being grateful for the situation that you may have while also not becoming complacent,
right?
Which great players are not generally complacent. They're always trying to get better, and they want everything around them to get better. And, you know, with structured situations like salary caps and coaches and organizations, it's not that simple. You can't draw that up. So I understand the conflict that exists with that, with trying to be great and enjoying what you have going on at the moment. But,
you know,
I mean, that's the,
you know, Brady
nuance
and
of sports.
Peyton Manning got to choose Denver. Tom mostly got to choose Tampa. Aaron will get traded somewhere. I do wonder if you could ask Aaron privately, okay, if you had Brady's situation or Peyton's, where you, like, you were a free agent and you could choose, where would you go? Because deep down, I think the before Justin Herbert got there, the Chargers roster, by the way, Brady gave that long consideration. Many believe it came down to Tampa and the Chargers. Players in the league know how good the Chargers talent is. Like, everybody in the league's like, when Derwin James is healthy, they got corners.
They
and
feel
Bosa.
A little bit like the Bucs.
That's exactly right, Joy. They feel like Tampa. You're like, man, if they, and that's why when Justin Herbert comes in, you're like, oh wow, the Rams may not own this city. Like, oh wow. So it would be interesting if Aaron was given a choice where he would pick. Because
I think we'll find out eventually.
Yeah, I do too. Pretty quick. All right, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on this 4th of July weekend into week. Hope you and your family are having a great time. Thanks so much for stopping by. Rick Bucher next, talk about the NBA Finals.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Rick Bucher's covered the NBA since the early 90s, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. He'll join us live from the Bay Area. So when I look, Charles Barkley said it, and I was saying earlier, there are players that are great players over the course of a season, but situationally in the half-court offense, a Westbrook, a Giannis, a Ben Simmons, not great shooters, that they can be a little bit of a liability. And I did think the Bucks' offense in the half-court set was pretty effective against Atlanta without Giannis. Do you think Milwaukee knows in the half-court set sometimes taking him off the floor gives Drew Holiday and Middleton opportunities they wouldn't otherwise get, right?
Yeah, no, and it also gives opportunities for Brook Lopez that he normally wouldn't have. He ends up being largely a three-point shooter to space the floor in order to give Giannis room to get into the paint and do what he does. So Brook Lopez becomes a completely different player, and you saw that in the absence of Giannis. Giannis is at his best, and the Bucks are at their best when he is actually the screen setter and the roller and doesn't have the ball in his hands unless he's catching it below the free throw line. That's when he can be effective, because then it's only a dribble or two. He gets 2 feet into the paint. Now he's his most dangerous. When he's facing up at the top of the key, quite honestly, that always scares me, because it's a turnover waiting to happen, and a turnover there is an automatic fast break bucket going the other way. So the encouraging thing for the Bucks is seeing how Bobby Portis has played and how Brook Lopez has played.
Yeah.
And it may be a little bit easier to convince Giannis that less is more right now, and to allow these other guys to shine, do what he does defensively, do what he does rebounding the ball, play below the free throw line, but we're not going to play through you quite as much.
You know, if Chris Paul won the finals, and they'll be favored in game one, favored in the series, and I like Phoenix, I get more answers than I do questions. With Milwaukee, I feel like I get more questions sometimes than I want answers by this time in the season. I like Phoenix, but if Chris won and the Suns won, do you think it radically changes his legacy?
I do. Now, obviously, it depends on how they win and what kind of role that he plays. I saw something written about that he was the superstar who owned the conference finals. And for a guy who didn't play in the first two wins and had an off game in the third win for the Suns, I can't say that he's the guy who owned the conference finals. I don't know that any player did. But if Chris Paul gives us more performances like he did in Game 6, or is just that stabilizing factor where we see the difference between them with Chris Paul and without them, then yes, adding a ring to a guy's legacy, whatever year you do it, however you end up doing it, changes the impression. I mean, honestly, he's already changed it by getting there. He was considered a great point guard, second round and out in the postseason. By the very nature of getting to the finals, this puts him in a different category. So I do believe that it can have a huge impact. Some of it, though, has to do with how he plays in the finals. And I like the Suns, too, but I don't love them. This idea that it's a foregone conclusion that the Suns are going to win this series, I am not with that at all. I think that it's going to be a very competitive series, and I would not be surprised if the Bucks end up winning it.
You know, you could make the argument it's a transitional year. We've had years where that Dirk team won. We didn't think they were going to run it back. The Raptors team won. They're not going to run it back. Does this feel transitional to you? Like, oh, LeBron will get healthy. It'll be fine. I don't know. When I look at Phoenix, I'm like, I don't see him going anywhere. This doesn't feel like lightning in a bottle to me. Do you think this is a transitional finals, or the league is changing? It's getting younger.
Yeah.
And it's going to look a lot more like this for the next several years.
I would agree. I do believe it's a transitional time. Who the powers are going to be going forward is a big question mark. LeBron James coming back. I mean, the Lakers, I don't like their future right now. LeBron's not going to get healthier. He's obviously not going to get younger.
Right.
Anthony Davis is not going to get less injury prone. And I don't know how many resources or assets. Actually, I do. I do know how many assets they have to reconfigure that team in a significant way, and there aren't very many. Now, which of these teams rises to the fore? Can the Atlanta Hawks, with all their young players, they're good for the next year or two, but then you have to start making decisions on contracts. The Phoenix Suns, once you pull Chris Paul out of that equation, or you pay him what he wants to be paid, which is an enormous sum,
right,
then how is that going to crimp your ability to to keep all those other pieces. What we have seen through these playoffs is that depth and versatility has been the winning card for all of these teams.
Yeah.
We like to think of these teams as star-driven, and they all have stars. But the teams that have been left standing as we moved forward are the teams that have a Bobby Portis coming off the bench, a Danilo Gallinari, a Kevin Huerter who can give you a game, a Bogdan Bogdanovic who gives you a game. Like, it has been depth and the ability to play big and small that has made the difference. And so I think the pressure is on the GMs to spend their money wisely and not to go with the old concept of, I just need to get two or three big stars, pay them a boatload of money, and then I'm going to backfill on everything else. That, to me, has not been the formula this year. And quite honestly, if you look at how the Toronto Raptors won, or even the Lakers last year in the bubble, it wasn't just the star power. It was, what's the quality of our sixth, seventh, and eighth man, and how do they match up with the opposition? And I believe the same is going to be true in these finals, that it's going to be a Bobby Portis or a Jay Crowder or some of the players down the line that are going to be the determining factor on who ends up winning.
Well, it's interesting. Let's say Chris Paul doesn't have a great finals, and Devin Booker's amazing, and DeAndre Ayton, they're just amazing. And they win the finals. Then, if you own the Suns, you're like, okay, do I want to go 4 years in on Chris? Because he's going to be, like, to your point, it is a punitive contract. It'll be interesting. If Booker and DeAndre Ayton just own the finals, I could see Phoenix sitting there, Rick, and going, all right, Chris, can we get a two-year deal? That's when it gets really interesting. Now, if Chris is just magnificent, 18 points, 12 assists, one turnover, we only have about 45 seconds left. Do you think he'll get a four-year deal, Chris Paul?
I do think he will get a four-year deal, and I think it's going to be an albatross around the Suns. You're going to reward him for what he's done this year, but he's 36 years old and injury prone.
Yeah.
4 years at that number, it is a tough decision, no question.
Yeah, good stuff, Rick Bucher. Happy holidays for you, Rick. Thanks for stopping by the show. It's funny, in a lot of businesses, in baseball, you have these 10-year deals, and everybody understands the last 3 years of it are just terrible. Like, even as great as Mookie Betts is, you're probably looking in 6 years, you'd be like, oh. Now, Fernando Tatis is different. He's so young, you'd give him a 10-year deal. But, in the NFL, you almost never, as a team, have to deal very long with a bad contract. Maybe a year. In baseball, you build it in, it's going to be 3 years bad. With Chris Paul, what if the finals are just a showcase for Booker and DeAndre Ayton? And they just crush. Booker has a 40-point game. And DeAndre Ayton shuts down Giannis. And you're like, now that 4 years, that doesn't sit. Now, that's where it's tough in the ownership spot. Like, we love Chris, but to injuries, age, this stuff is tough. It's not always easy. You get into it. Players always want 2 years more. Owners want 2 years left. Les, you hope you can find that third year and end it there. Okay, hour two next.